Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, telling you the story again today about our visit to Kenya. I had been invited to speak at a student missionary convention patterned after the Urbana Missionary Convention sponsored by InterVarsity, which is held every 3 years in Urbana, Illinois. I have spoken there a few times, and here was my opportunity to speak to black students in Africa at a conference called Commission 91. The conference was held at Kenyatta University, and there were about 1,800 students there from Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Uganda, Tanzania, Chad, Zaire, the USA, and even Brazil. One of the main speakers was Gottfried Osemensa, who is from Ghana, I believe, and a wonderful preacher. I've been with Gottfried in both Urbana Convention and also in Australia. He reminded me that we had shared a conference there one time. I had forgotten that. And in his opening message, he prayed that the Lord would give us a mission vision of such earnestness that it would send us scuttling and scrambling to witness. I was amazed to learn that there are 60 indigenous missions in Kenya. Can you imagine? I had no idea that there would be 60 indigenous mission organizations. In other words, mission organizations founded by Africans with the purpose of doing foreign missionary work. Now, maybe I'm mistaken that all 60 of them were foreign for foreign missionary work, but many of them were, and this conference emphasized foreign missions. Well, to see 1,800 Africans singing and swaying and to hear their concert of prayer, it was something I will never forget. When they sang, I mean they sang. And they have a way, a wonderful way of swaying each row of chairs. The people are standing, of course, when they sing, and each row sways in the opposite direction from the row in front of them. So it's wonderful to see from the platform, especially. And then they had a time when there was what they called a concert of prayer, and they had given prayer requests, and everybody prayed at once. And I thought about that hymn that I often sing, "As o'er each continent and island the dawn brings on another day." The voice of prayer is never silent, nor die the strains of praise away. And I thought, from now, for the rest of my life, whenever I hear that phrase, "the voice of prayer," I will think of that experience at Kenyatta University. What a roar it built from a quiet murmur up to a roar of prayer. And then they divided us into groups of four, told us to form groups of four, and each night as we did this, we were told to pray for a particular country. And that first night we prayed for Zambia and thanked God for peace that had come to Zambia, which was not expected at that particular time. And that was Friday night. Then on Saturday, I gave a seminar on the subject of passion and purity. I've written a book called Passion and Purity, which is the love story of Jim Elliot and me, and it brings out the principles of sexual purity and what it means to bring one's unfulfilled desires under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And to my amazement, I found that many of these African students had read that book, and they brought their tattered and well-marked copies to me for an autograph. I saw in those students an earnestness and a dignity and a seriousness that seems to be rare among students in America. And when I talked about sexual purity, and I made it very plain that I was talking about abstinence, if you're single, abstinence is what God asks. They cheered, they clapped, and they bought books. Well, would you like to hear a little bit more from my journal? December 29th. Two church services in a slum area called Kibera. It's 12 kilometers square, and in that square live 450,000 people. Not in high rises, mind you, but in tiny little shacks. I spoke first in an English service in the little church there, which was just a corrugated aluminum or iron building, and spoke in English in the first service and in Swahili by translation, of course, the second service. They had a wonderful adult choir, and they had the African Children's Choir. Some of you have heard them. They've traveled here in the States. That was just heartbreakingly sweet. These sweet little children, ages about 7 to 11, neat as a pin, hair ribbons in their hair, and at the end of one of the songs, they all spread out through the audience and took the hand of the people at the end of each row. One tiny little girl came up and took Lars's huge hand and looked up to him and said in English, very carefully, she said, "Please stand up." And so, of course, the whole audience stood up, and we joined in the singing and the hand clapping and the gestures. Then we had lunch with our missionary friends, Chuck and Bobby Kinzer, and Bill and Kathy Bissett, and an African couple were also with us. And in the afternoon, I had another seminar on passion and purity. Lars was tearing his hair because here on the second day of the conference, or it was the third day of the conference, he was actually almost sold out of the books that we had brought with us and shipped ahead of time. In the evening meeting, I spoke with a group of missionaries. This was in the home of some missionaries. And we thanked the Lord for completely restored health. I didn't read the part where Lars and I were feeling a bit queasy the day before. And we were very thankful that that was just a typical tourist kind of malady that only lasted for about 24 hours. What a mercy. Then on December 30th, I was sitting in the apartment preparing my message that afternoon when the cleaning women came in, and these women, can you believe this, were wearing dressy dresses and high heels. They were just delightful women. They didn't speak very much English, so I couldn't carry on much of a conversation with them. But it amazed me to see the quick and efficient way that they went through that apartment and cleaned it wearing high heels. December 31st, a young man nearly lost his leg in an accident. He came to tell me how he was greatly cheered in the hospital by his reading a book that somebody had given him, a book that I wrote called A Slow and Certain Light. He heard the doctor say that the leg would have to come off. But the doctor turned to a nurse beside him, thinking that the man couldn't hear, and said, "But this one will die." Well, this young man who's telling me his own story showed me the leg, pulling up his trousers with a huge grin. He didn't lose the leg. The leg was healed. And he told me that that book, A Slow and Certain Light, which oddly enough is a book about guidance, I wouldn't have thought of it as a book to give to somebody who is about to lose his leg, he said that that book had given him the faith to believe that God was going to heal him, and God did. Well, I spoke at the plenary session that evening on the subject of the cost of commitment. And there was a very loud concert of prayer that followed that, very fervent crying out to God. You could not doubt the earnestness of those students' prayers. And then a young woman came and handed me this little note. "My heart is filled with joy for what the Lord has done in my heart and my life in this Commission 91, through what you have shared with me. I've made a commitment to lay all at the feet of Jesus. If you came to Kenya for no one else, God would have sent you for one lady. I am a transformed person. I trust the Lord to help me have a holy walk with him and be fully committed to him. Your suffering has been used by God, who has comforted you in order to comfort others, I being one of them. I would have loved to have more time with you. I actually feel you didn't share or fellowship with me enough. I would have asked you a few more questions. I will write, as I promised, and buy the books and the cassettes I did not buy. May the Lord bless you and continue to use you. Well, she did write. I got her letter just this week. God has answered so many prayers, and many of them are your prayers, and I want to say thank you. Those of you who receive my newsletter get my itinerary, and I do thank those of you who take that itinerary and actually pray through that and ask the Lord for blessing in the different places where I go. Well, Kenya, I've been to Africa. I still can hardly believe it. On January the 1st, we phoned my daughter Valerie because that was the day, December 31st would have been the day that her baby was due, her number 7 baby. And so it was by that time, January the 1st in Kenya, and we phoned to find out whether there was any news of the baby. The news that we got was not very good news. The baby had not yet come, and the baby was in lateral position. The doctor wanted to do a cesarean. Val said, no, we'll wait. They did. And in our next program, I'll give you some more news about Africa and about my daughter, Valerie.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.